Good morning. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning. This is Becky Spieth, direct sales specialist and a Christian direct seller. And one of the things that I love, love, love to talk about is dreams, because I know that God's the one that places the dreams in our hearts. And to me, that is just so exciting because he wants us to just kind of use that as a little preview of things to come. And I can guarantee that if he's given you a dream, and I'm sure if you're on this call that he has, that he's going to give you the resources that you need to fulfill it. And one of the things I want to talk to you about is how to take your dream into your destiny today. But before we go in and start our Bible study this morning, I just want to go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for your time and love and just your goodness. You are so amazing to us, and we just want to honor and glorify you and praise you that we have this time to start our week off together in your word, giving you glory, and also, you know, lifting up our requests to you, Lord, and sharing our hearts with you. But thank you that you've given us your word. Lord, I pray that you will speak through my mouth of clay, that you will give me supernatural recall of your word and your scripture. Lord, I pray that you'll take the scales off of our eyes and open up our ears and circumcise our hearts afresh today so that we can take from your word what you would have for us this day. We love you. We give you honor and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking a lot this last week. I don't know if most of you realize it or not, but on the 11th, I actually had surgery, so about 10 days ago. And one of the things that we're doing is we're trying to get the surgery was on my sinuses and nasal cavities and all kinds of stuff. They did all kinds of things up in there to strengthen my voice. And we've got some other things I'm going to be doing this week as well. But I have never had any time when the doctor said, well, you're going to want to take a week off work, where you'd really want to take that week off. You know, I'm like, I'm ready and raring to go after about 2 or 3 days. I'm stir crazy and I'm back at it. Wow, I can say that's not the case this time. This was really a challenging recovery. And so I wasn't with you last week and I had to cancel. And I think in the whole time I've done these calls in like the 2 or 3 years, or so I think it's even longer than that now, I think I've only canceled one time. And so I apologize that I wasn't there this last week, but then that gave me even more desire to be with everybody on Facebook. So I kept looking at your posts and praying for each person, and I went over to the Facebook page, The Christian Direct Seller, and was looking there and just praying for everybody. But I just kept thinking and dreaming. And then I would hold at dreams in place for each one of you and ask the Lord to fulfill those dreams. I know many, many of you were at seminar or conference or celebration or family reunion or whatever your company calls it this last week, which would have been like your national conference. And I can remember the very first time that I sat in the audience at a conference, and I just thought, wow, I didn't realize that people just like me were having so much success. And that they were actually able to achieve dreams inside their company, but also outside. And I can remember our awards dinner the one night, and my husband was actually there, and we were sitting, and they had a red roped-off area, and it was closer to the stage. And you had to have a special ticket in order to be able to get into that special reserved area. And I didn't understand what that was, so I went and I asked the gentleman that was there kind of taking the tickets and keeping everybody else back out of that area. And he said, oh, these are the people we're celebrating for reaching their dreams. And I thought, wow, that's so awesome. And what I realized is they were the top achievers for the year in the company. Well, I looked at my husband and he looked at me. We didn't even have to say one sentence. And in my heart, I was saying, I will never sit on this other side of this red roped off area again. And it wasn't about a prideful thing, but it was, I'm going to set dreams. I'm going to set goals. And I'm going to ask God, what does he really want for me in this company, but also in life? And what is my company a vehicle or a tool for in making a bigger difference? And so we knew at that point that I would never sit behind those red ropes again. I can honestly say I never did after that, because I went to the Lord and I asked him, I said, Lord, what dream would you have for me? What dream do you want me to accomplish as a result of being a part of this company? What dream do you have for me that I can make in the life of my family come true? What would you have me do that would be something that would further your kingdom? And at that point, he started downloading all these amazing ideas and dreams to me. Now, sometimes our dreams happen when we're asleep. Sometimes they just pop into our mind and our hearts because God's just speaking to our spirit man. But whatever it is, I'm sure that God's given you a dream. And I'll bet he's even given you a really big dream. He might have even given you a big, audacious dream. You know, to me, sometimes I just look at some of the dreams he gives me and I just think, Lord, that's got to totally be you because there's no way that could be me. And it's so exciting to see the dream that he gives you and then to see him lay the plan if we're willing to trust him and we're willing to obey him in what he tells us that we're supposed to do. Now, I can tell you that with a big dream, you're going to have, it's going to require big character. And so with that, I'm going to encourage you to stay in the process. You know, some of us think like, okay, well, he gives me this big dream. I'm ready today, Lord. And I can tell you one of the biggest dreams the Lord's given me, he's still not yet fulfilled in my life, but I know it's coming. I've had many people prophesy over me and say, you know, this is what the Lord's showing me, and he wanted me to tell you this. But he told me my big, big dream, let me see, I was trying to think how old I am, 17 years ago. And he did it just right before I had one of the worst near-death experiences. And I was really sick. But he gave me that dream, and I just thought, there's just no way. And I'm going to share that with you. I'm going to be really bold here, and I'm going to share that dream with you, and it kind of scares me even to say it out loud. But what he showed me, and I was laying flat on my back, sick as a dog, could not get up, couldn't walk. I had three little babies. Jordan was just diagnosed with autism, and things were just not in a really good place. And I couldn't even get out of bed and hadn't for months. And the Lord showed me one day, and I was reading the book by T.D. Jakes called Woman Thou Art Loosed, and it was that first book that he put together that was amazing. And I was reading that book, and I drifted off to sleep, and I can still remember the two boys were on the outside of my bed, and Bethany was on the inside of my bed, just as a little baby, and we were all napping. And the Lord showed me a huge stadium of people, and they were mostly women, and I couldn't see all the faces, but I could see several faces, and I was speaking to this huge, huge stadium of people, and I said, Lord, what is that about? And he said, I'm going to have you speak to stadiums and set women free, and I didn't really understand what that was. I've still never really stood in a stadium, per se. I've been in really large ballrooms and banquet rooms. I've spoke to people, more than 4,000, 5,000 people at a time, but never in a stadium situation. And so, to me, that's a little audacious, but I didn't even realize. I wasn't even involved in direct selling. I didn't even really talk to very many women except for the three or four at church every week. I just really didn't talk to very many people, and we didn't really have computers a whole lot back then. We were just starting to get on the internet and have computers and things. So I had no idea how I could speak to stadiums of people, let alone stadiums of women. And I thought, set them free. How, Lord? What are they being trapped from? Well, let's fast forward through to 17 years later, and I see everything that holds women in bondage. Now, I can tell you there's been some pretty dark and dismal times in my life that have happened across my entire life. And I go in and I speak to women's groups and women's meetings and things like that, and I share, and I even do workshops on From Ashes to Beauty. And because God has taken all of our ashes and turn them into something beautiful, like he tells us he'll do in his word. And I didn't realize that, you know, even at that point, that, you know, the abuse I suffered as a child, being sexually molested by family members, and by the struggles I went through in my marriage, my son being diagnosed with autism, being literally saved from death multiple times by having my husband kind of just divorce me emotionally, and different things that I've gone through, that those would be used to build my character to help set women free. Now, this was totally not the direction I was going to go in, but I just feel like the Lord's leading me to share some of these things with you, so I hope it's touching your heart. But what I realized is when he gives us a big dream, he really, really wants us to develop big character. The tests that you might be going through are just a process of developing your character, and God's turning your tests into a testimony. One of my favorite verses is Revelation 12:11, and it tells us that we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. God did everything. Jesus did everything at the cross when he died and rose again, that he was the blood sacrifice. He was the one that did the work to overcome the enemy. However, if we stand in silence and we just are so thankful and we just soak in all the that God did for us, and we don't share it with someone else, we don't help set the captives free. And I want to encourage you to take and look at what your tests are and see how the Lord is using that by you sharing those tests with other people and helping to set them free. So let me ask you about your dream. What is your dream? Is it a big dream? Is it a little dream? Are there several little dreams that lead to the big dream? I don't know how God's revealed it to you. But I do know that Jeremiah 29:11 tells us, "For I know the plans for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. He has good things in store for you." You know, God only creates perfectly and abundantly, and he gives us the ability to do the same. Habakkuk 2:3 says, "For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, and it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it, because it's surely going to come, and it will not delay." So I want to encourage you, if you're kind of like me and you're waiting for that big, audacious dream to take place, realize you're in process. Realize he's developing your character. He's taking you from your dream to your destiny, and he's doing it one day at a time, by you being faithful, trusting, and obeying. But I want to encourage you, because he promises us here in Habakkuk 2:3 that if you have a vision or a dream that he's given you and it still hasn't happened, it promises, God can't lie. It's going to happen. If it seems slow, wait for it, because it'll surely come. Psalm 138:8 tells us that the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me, your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. David knew that the Lord was going to fulfill his purpose for David. And I mean, David was messing up big time. I mean, he was sinning. He even killed people so he could have an affair with a woman. And I mean, it was just bad. He was doing all kinds of really bad, bad things. And he knew better. So if you're going through a time and you're like, you know what, I just don't see my dream coming to take place, I want you to stand fast on Psalm 138:8 and know that he promises to fulfill his purpose in you, and that he endures forever, and his love endures forever, and he's not going to forsake the work of his hands. He's given you the dream. He's created you. He wants that to take place. John 16:33 tells us, "I've said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world." So if there's something in your life that you're just saying, "Lord, I need you to help me overcome," stand fast to that. Stand fast to that. You know, I can tell you that one of the things I was thinking about too was, where was the biggest dream in the Bible? Well, for me, it was lived out through Joseph, and that's found in Genesis 37. Now, he was his dad's favorite. I mean, Jacob worked a really long time to even get to the fact where he could even marry his mom, like 14 years worth. And then he had his son, and he was so excited. And of course, you know, Joseph was his favorite. And he had lots of other sons. I mean, this is where we get all the Israeli tribes and stuff. So he had lots and lots of sons, and he had wives and concubines and all this. But there was something special about Joseph, and I really think it was because he loved his mom so much and worked so hard for Rachel that Joseph just had a special place. And so, you know, he was really special to him and things like that. And Joseph was kind of like his dad's favorite. He sent his other brothers off to work, but Joseph was allowed to kind of stay around home and just be a blessing to his dad. Now, it tells us in verse 5, it says, "Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him still more." I want to touch on that for just a quick second, because I don't know about you, but I think sometimes we're afraid to share our big dream with people, and we don't do that because, and our destiny never gets realized because we're not speaking and creating it with our words, let alone anything else. Everything's first created in our thoughts and in our hearts, and then we create it with our mouth by saying it, and then, you know, a lot of times we'll see it physically manifest. Well, I don't know about you, but I've many a times shared a dream with others, and they weren't real happy or excited for me. So if that's your case, I want to encourage you as well, because that's exactly what it says. You know what? Joseph had a dream. When he told his brothers, they hated him even more. So sometimes, especially the people that are closest for us, people that we think are going to get really excited for us, they don't. But I don't want you to allow them to steal your dream. I want to encourage you to hold fast to that. Okay? You know, that's part of the reason, like, when we get people started in direct selling, I have people start calling people that they don't think are going to say yes versus the people that they're pretty sure are going to be so excited for them, the people that are closest for them. Because a lot of times they'll dash their dream. But let's go on. In verse 6 it says, "And he said to them, listen now and hear, I pray, this dream that I have dreamed." Well, another thing I want to point out here is, they were already more angry at him. They didn't like him. They made him hate him already. They didn't want to hear his dream, but he kept forcing it on them. So don't keep forcing your dream on other people. If they're dream stealers, I'm going to encourage you not to do what Joseph did here and keep telling him and keep telling him, because his fate didn't turn out like the way he had thought. However, we do see God's plan works through. God promises to work everything together for good. Now, it says, "We brothers were binding sheaves in the field, and behold, my sheaf arose, and it stood upright." And it said, and my Bible sheets are sticking together, my Bible pages, "Behold, your sheaf stood around about my sheaf, and it bowed down." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or are you going to have us as your subjects and dominate us?" And they hated him all the more for his dream and for what he said. And then, do you know what? God gave him another dream. And he told it to his brothers again. And he said, "See here, I have dreamed again. And behold, this time not only 11 stars, but also the sun and the moon bowed down and did reverence to me." Now, I'm not going to go into the whole dream because we could talk for an hour, 2 hours on just this whole dream. But basically, the Lord showed him that he would be in a place of authority over his brothers. Well, he was the little brother, and this made them really angry. He was already the favorite. They didn't like that. However, I can guarantee that the thing that brought Joseph through each and every one of those really hard, terrible places in his life, those tests that were building his character, giving him that big character so he could have that big dream and big destiny fulfilled, was the thoughts of, "You know, God, I know that you love me, and you gave me this dream, and you promise to fulfill your word in me." So I want to encourage you, if you're going through a rough time, I don't know, you might even do exactly what Joseph did. Maybe your family's forsaken you, or they don't believe in your dream. Or maybe they're not on board and even supporting it. They say, "You go ahead and you do what you want to do." Maybe they've thrown you in a pit. Maybe they've stripped you where you feel like he's got nothing left and left you in a pit. And then decided, "You know what, instead I'm going to make a little cash off of you." And then they decided to sell you. And then you went into slavery where you felt like you were in bondage. You wanted to just fulfill your dream. But you felt like you had to exchange your time for dollars, if you were even lucky enough to do that. And then maybe it was that you know, you decided, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do a really good job here, even though this isn't what I think God has for me. I'm going to do my best here. And you developed your leadership. You developed your administrative skills. You developed the things that you knew would need to be developed in you to rise to the top. And things looked like they were going pretty good. And maybe you got a promotion in work, and you were doing exactly what you thought you were supposed to do. You're in management. You're maybe managing a household and managing at work. And then all of a sudden, there was a false accusation against you, and you wound up in jail for something you never even did. And then you thought, oh, you're going to do your best there. Even in the places where you felt most bound, you rose to the occasion, and you became a leader. And you had somebody say, I'm going to help get you out. I'm going to help lift you up. Or you think maybe it's your upline. She's got the secret to success. She's going to give it to you. And then you get let down because they're human beings. They didn't remember. They didn't share. But one day, because you've been faithful, you've done exactly what the Lord showed you, He will promote you just like He did Joseph. Now, I know some of these things seem kind of extreme, but I'll bet if you think about the parallels of your life and you apply them to your family and your life and your job and your business, that you'll see there's quite a few similarities. You know, when we look at Joseph's story, he starts out with a dream that God gave him. The call on his life was this dream. He was born to be a leader. He was born to do something magnificent. He called him to be a leader and an overseer, and even when he was a slave, he was faithful. His character was developed in the process. He started taking action in the area of his calling by working in his gifting. Are you doing that, or are you sitting there saying, I can't get a booking? I can't get anybody to talk to me about the business. I'd rather stay in and redo a handout, or I'd rather just be safe and not really tell anybody about my product or invite them to my meeting or my... What are you really doing with the gifting that God's given you? He started taking action in the area of his calling by working in his gifting. And you can do the same thing just like Joseph. And your purpose will start to manifest, and you'll start to live out your destiny. You know, a lot of people make the mistake of believing that they're going to start working in the area of their destiny or their calling and fulfill their purpose once they get into position. And I'm saying that quote-unquote. But if it's not ever the case, if we start taking action in the area of our calling by working in our gifts and our purpose, we're going to manifest it, and we will live out our destiny. We will get to that position. Seldomly does someone get the position or get the promotion, and then they all of a sudden start acting like the leader, start all of a sudden filling their calendar. You know, Joseph started living in his purpose while he was a slave, while he was in Potiphar's house, while he was in jail, and he fulfilled his dream to become the first in command, just under Pharaoh in Egypt, the most powerful country in the world. Perhaps instead of looking at all the things that aren't going right in your life or your business, maybe God's saying, you know what? Look to what is going right. Be faithful in what I have given you. Bloom where you are planted. Don't you think at some point, though, that Joseph really questioned if God was going to fulfill the dream? I mean, I know I would have. I know I have. And I have had to ask forgiveness about that. You know, he was betrayed by his brothers, his family. He was sold into slavery, wrongfully accused, thrown into prison. And his dream was not fulfilled immediately. What were all these tests about? Developing his character. I'm sure that he was not the same man when he took office under the Pharaoh as he was when he was 17 years old, when he received the dream. His character was tested in the areas of pride, in the area of purity, doing the right thing, whether anybody was watching or not, in positivity. I mean, he was with one of the richest, his dad was one of the richest people in the entire world. And he was his favorite. He had everything. He didn't even have to work. And then he wound up in a pit and in a disgusting, filthy, gross, awful prison. I bet it was pretty hard to stay positive sometimes. I bet he didn't think everything was going his way. He was also tested in the area of position. He was told by God he was going to have everybody bowing down to him, even the sun and the moon, the top people in the world at that time. And yet he was in filth, in prison, and in a pit. He was tested in his character around power, and how would he handle it? How would he handle not only the negative, but the positive? Would he want to rub his brother's noses in it? Is that what he did? No, he developed character so that he wouldn't do that. He was tested in purpose, and was he willing to do what it took to persevere to fulfill his purpose, as well as being tested in how he would pardon? I want to encourage you to look at the tests in your life in relation to the call on your dream. How is God grooming and growing your character? In my own life, it's been in areas of growing my faith, loving others unconditionally, overcoming, growing my leadership, empowerment, and celebration of others, just to name a few. I want to encourage you, if you're in a time of challenge or transition, because I know many of you are, to take heart. You too could be in that pit on your way to the palace. Matthew 12:35 says, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. So start producing the good things now. Grow your character, grow your dream, and fulfill your destiny. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent. God has sent you. He's called you. He's called you according to a purpose. He promises that it's for good and not for evil. He's got you. And it tells us also in Jeremiah 17:10, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind, to every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his deeds. So I want to encourage you to do just what it tells us in Matthew 12:35. Be a good person that produces good things from the treasury of your heart. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've given us a dream, a big, audacious dream, and you've given us the resources to fulfill it. And Lord, thank you so much that you are faithful to fulfill your dream in each one of us. Thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us in times of tribulation. You tell us there will be times of tribulation in this world, so we shouldn't be surprised by that. But instead, Lord, help us to see each and every one of those areas and how we can turn those tests into a testimony so that we can overcome the enemy, so that we can live out that dream and live out our destiny. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you never lie to us. Thank you that you have called us according to your purpose and want to fulfill a great and mighty work in us and through us. Lord, thank you that you've overcome the world. Thank you that you are doing a mighty thing in each one of us. And Lord, we promise to step up instead of complaining about all the things going wrong, to take the example, to live as godly men and women, producing good things from the treasury of a good heart, because you've made our heart clean. And in and through you, we can do all things because you're the one that strengthens us. Lord, I pray a blessing upon each and every person listening to this call, that you'll bless their life, you'll bless their business. We love you. We thank you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.